Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us wherever you may be listening to us or watching us today on our YouTube or Rumble channels. Facebook Live, what an honor to have you with us for the next 3 hours of common sense conservative conversation. Again, we have got a lot of ground to cover today. President Trump in China. You know what's interesting about the president, and it's a who's who, a cavalcade of business and economic stars that are traveling along with the president, and it was the welcome the president received. You know, when Barack Hussein Obama was invited to go to China, and they flew over there, Air Force One, and you had the grand staircase, they actually made Barack Obama come out of the buttocks of the airplane. You know, they had that tiny little, the tiny little stairs in what they would call the rear of the aircraft, the hind quarters of the ass of Air Force One. That's where they made Obama come out. But not Donald Trump. Donald Trump, he came down the big boy staircase, the grown-up staircase. And there was the red carpet and people were cheering. And I've never seen such adulation before. And then you compare that to what happened with Donald Trump when he's around reporters in Washington, D.C., or at the White House Correspondents Association dinner. Really was quite remarkable. You know, it's interesting. Glenn Beck is, he's a little concerned. Glenn Beck yesterday, just the safety issue. And I have to tell you, I was thinking the exact same thing. You know, you don't want to jinx. You know, you don't want to like something, you think about something and it becomes reality, but you can't help but wonder that. I mean, I do. I get uneasy every time the president leaves American soil. Maybe that's just me, but I do. And one of the reasons why is the Secret Service. That's a big problem. And I still go back to the White House Correspondents Association dinner, and I'm nothing against those men. I think there was a woman there, too. And nothing against the work they did. Those that were assigned the task of actually guarding the ballroom, well, they did their jobs, and they did them quite well to some extent. I've noticed there was a trend. For example, they shot, I don't know how many shots were fired, and nobody hit the suspect. It does make you wonder if over the years, going all the way back to the B.H. Obama years, if instead of finding the best and the brightest and the most accurate shooters, maybe they were hiring people for Secret Service positions based on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And when you look at, for example, and can we go back to Butler for just a moment here? Butler County, Pennsylvania. And we all remember the iconic shot, right? You've seen it. Trump with his arm raised up, fight, fight, fight. And you hear the scuffling on the stage, and the president is concerned about his shoes. He lost his shoe. And there was, there were a good few seconds where the president was totally exposed. And I've often thought about that. And I was sort of shocked at the lack of immediacy of the response of the Secret Service. And because these guys are trained, I mean, trained, it's like split second training here. And you do wonder, especially with, you know, the other incident with the gunman hiding in the bushes at the golf course in Palm Beach. It makes you wonder what's going on in the Secret Service. Is this simply a matter of just, you know, ineptness, people that are unqualified that have been hired for the Secret Service, or is there something else going on here? Are there bad actors within the Secret Service who are either trying to do our president harm or not doing their jobs well enough to expose the president to those who would try to harm him. And man, I hate that my brain wanders into that darkness, but it does make you wonder. That's why I get nervous. I mean, when you see these stories of Secret Service agents, when they're on these international trips, hanging out with the hookers, getting drunk, getting wasted, that did not used to happen. And there has been a change in the Secret Service, and that's got to get fixed. And quite frankly, it needs to be completely overhauled. And that should have happened immediately after the White House Correspondents Association dinner, because it just seems to me that there should have been layers of security there in that building. And I know that it's a hotel. It doesn't matter. But when you've got the leader of the free world, you had the vice president, you had the Speaker of the House, you had a majority of the cabinet there, I mean, this could have been a catastrophic blow to the nation. And that's not good. So anyway, I get Glenn Beck, and I understand why he feels the way he does, because I got to tell you, I feel the same way. I am concerned about the safety of our great president. I truly am. Because there are people, what this president is doing, do you understand? Do you understand what he is doing here? The president is waging war. And forget about Iran for a second. The president's waging war on the deep state. Members of both political parties who have enriched themselves at the expense of the American taxpayers, who have stolen, who have grifted off of the American people. And we're talking about generational wealth that has been stolen from the American taxpayers. And that is just unacceptable. And the president sees that, and the president's going after that. Now, Sebastian Gorka, and we're going to get Dr. G on the show. I miss him. You know, he's just a great guy, and he's doing counterterrorism for the White House. You know what I love about Dr. G? This man does not do a lot of press, does not do a lot of interviews. He does his job. And quite frankly, that's something the FBI director could learn from. That's something that Pam Bondi should have learned from, and others, Christy Noem. But Gorka, I mean, he was a celebrity within his own right, and he put all that aside, and he's serving the president predominantly in the shadows. But anyway, he did an interview the other day with Miranda Devine over at the New York Post, and Podforce One is that's a very clever name for a podcast. We call ours the Toddcast, Dylan.
Yes, we do.
I kind of like Podforce One. Podforce One.
It's pretty sick. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Toddcast is, yeah. I mean, that's not bad. It's
like it could be the Todd Father, too, you know. You are the Todd Father around here.
Todd Father. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Get some good Italian music. So anyway, in this interview, this sort of ties in a very morbid sort of way. So Sebastian Gorka says that in the event President Trump is assassinated, that he's left Vice President J.D. Vance written instructions on what to do next. Gorka said the president had prepared for a succession scenario amid security concerns surrounding the president during his second term. This is the quote from Dr. G. There is a letter in the drawer in the Resolute desk that is addressed to the vice president should something happen to him. The comments came after Gorka said he did not personally fear an attempt on Trump's life by a foreign adversary when Devine expressed concern about the president traveling to China to meet President Xi Jinping, described the president as someone who alone stands between them and world domination. I am so glad to hear her say that, because I thought up until now I was the only person who saw that, or at least that's how I think of it. It's Donald Trump versus the world. Miranda Devine goes on to say, so they have every reason in the world to take him out. After speaking about the letter, Devine pressed Gorka on Trump's safety, claiming China could hurt him in a sneaky way. Gorka said, quote, we have protocols. Trust me, not ones I can discuss, but we have protocols. I love this guy. The president had previously spoken about contingency plans in relation to assassination threats from Iran. In January, Trump said he left very firm instructions that the whole of Iran should be blown up if he were killed. I can't even think. It's just, four times now they've tried to kill this man. A second suspect, let me back up here. At home, meanwhile, Trump has faced multiple assassination attempts in recent years. We mentioned Butler. A second suspect was arrested after allegedly hiding at his golf course with a rifle. Again, why did the Secret Service not know that? How unbelievable. And in April, a would-be assassin attempted to rush the Correspondents' Dinner at the Hilton. By the fourth one, by the way, was this guy who showed up and at Mar-a-Lago. Trump was not there, but the guy was wanting to kill Trump. So anyway, I'm just concerned. That's all. I just get uneasy whenever I see the president out and about. I don't like it when he's in front of the big crowds. I mean, I know that he's got to do that, and I get it. But I hope that all of you are praying for the safety of our president. But I will say this, God forbid something happens and a foreign country is responsible. We have an obligation to literally blow the entire country off the face of the earth. That's the only proper response here. And there are the challenge, though, and I do believe this. I do believe that the more likely scenario is that people within the nation are going to try and hurt our president. And a lot of that, by the way, coming from these teachers that are out there posting videos on TikTok and Instagram, literally calling for the assassination of President Trump. And what concerns me is a lot of these teachers, their students follow their social media platforms. God forbid one of those kids tries to do something. But that's kind of where we are right now. We can't live in fear, and I'm not fearful. I'm concerned. I really am. And I love our president, and I want our president to serve out his term and spend the rest of his years enjoying golf and the beautiful presidential library that he's going to build in Miami. And I want him and his family to be safe. The hell these people have been put through by the left and by the establishment Republicans is just appalling. And they all bear responsibility for creating this assassination culture that is permeating America right now. So all that to say, pray for our president. I know he's being protected, but again, the Secret Service, that's not good. That's not good. All right, we've got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Indiana Governor Mike Braun is going to be joining us. Also, Liz Peek from Fox News, Steve Gill from TriStar Daily News, and, of course, our good buddies every Wednesday from Strategic Financial Partners here to answer your financial questions. It's going to be a lot of fun today. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Fort Wayne mayor is getting some national attention. Thousands of people voted online to name the new city county building in his honor.
But that probably won't happen because of his name.
The people voted, and the top pick so far with more than 10,000 votes is the Harry Balls Government Center, named after one of the city's longest serving mayors. But not everyone's on board with that name. To pick the new name for the building, people went over to feedbackfortwayne.org. They made suggestions and voted. The overwhelming front runner was the Harry Balls Government Center.
Harry Balls was the mayor of Fort Wayne back in the 1930s and 40s. He even served a term in the 1950s. We have a street named after Harry Balls, so what's the big deal about naming the new city county government building after him?
Some people think the Harry Balls Government Center would make Fort Wayne the butt of jokes. After all, the family did change the pronunciation of their last name from Balls to Bales.
Oh, my. Well, that's interesting, Dylan. You know, could you imagine? I mean, where do you work? I work down at Harry Balls.
I would just say HB, probably.
I work. Yeah, HBHQ.
HBHQ.
What if you're a cleaning company and you're listing all your contracts and, well, I clean hairy balls. Really? Wow. Do you do like toes too? Can you like, you know, not. What an unfortunate. It's really not. I mean, you don't want to say it's an unfortunate name.
I mean, it's not his fault. It's his mother's fault, really.
It's his ancestors. That's true. Who would name their child Harry Balls?
Yeah. Oh, it's kind of funny that the people actually voted for this. Like, most people wanted Harry Balls.
Well, of course they would.
I mean, why not? I mean,
I guarantee you there was like probably 90% voter turnout just for that one item on the agenda.
And they already had a street named. They're just like, let's just go ahead and name everything this.
Could you imagine? I mean, you're a police officer out on patrol. We've got a 1031 Harry Balls. I'm like, oh, I'm not going there. Just get somebody else. I'm on break. I'm at the Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, wait a second. We should have said that. I'm at the salad bar. You know, it does make you wonder. There are like some really unfortunate name combos out there. And I remember Dick Trickle back in the day. So.
I missed that one.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, you should Google. The pride of Rapids, Wisconsin, by the way. Big American race car driver, Dick Trickle. So always loved having his name, you know, broadcast all over the TV. So, well, there you go. All right. Do we know if they actually did decide to name their, because it's a B-A-A-L-S is the actual spelling, but the pronunciation is, in fact, balls. My hat is off to those news anchors. Those are professionals.
I feel like they knew that they were going to say it like a million times.
If that had been on my show, I'd have been on the floor.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't do that.
I'm too childish to do that.
Yeah. That's it. By the way, President Trump yesterday announcing that we got to start having babies. He's calling on Americans to have more babies, and we're going to play some audio from an interview we did on the Newsmax show in just a little while. But there's a survey done, and it turns out that Americans are simply not giving birth. You know, I mean, I think the baby boomer generation, that was the largest. Those were the folks coming back from World War II, and they started popping out babies all over the place. And then you had the Gen Xers, and not so much as far as, you know, having kids. And now apparently the birth rate has plummeted. I know the New York Times says, why so few babies? And they're going through and looking at all sorts of things, maybe culture changing. I will say this, though. It certainly appears that Gen Z seems to be stepping up to the plate, if you will, and they're focusing and putting more emphasis on traditional things like marriage and like starting families, a lot of them very young. But anyway, I suggested the president to help things along should give every young American couple a bottle of wine and a Barry White 8-track. That ought to do the trick. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
There's all kinds of music. Fast and loud. Soft and slow. Classical and pop. Rhythm and blues.
You know, Dylan, I think we have to do our part here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show, right?
I think we're doing a great job so far.
I do, too. I think across the country right now, people are making babies. You know, they've got us on. They've got our show in the background. They've got the mood lighting, the Yankee candle.
The scene is set, Todd.
The scene is set. And you and I are the background noise.
Maybe we're doing the opposite, I think. We might not be helping at all. Maybe.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
We're setting the mood.
I don't know. Did Barry White know that he was going to be this this icon of lovemaking, like when he started his career?
He had to. Anybody with that voice. Anybody.
Yeah. It sounds like he woke up in the morning, and that's when he goes into the studio. Mm-hmm. Like, I sound like Barry White when I wake up.
Yeah, this is the music. You know, you have intro music, like when you go to, you know, wrestling matches and stuff. And whenever I'm speaking to predominantly female audiences, normally at Christian romance novel retreats. This is how they introduced me.
You go to those retreats a lot?
You got to do what you got to do. You got to sell books. It's all about selling the
books.
If
it works, it works.
I hop up there. You got the Barry White playing. Hello, ladies. Just call me Todd, your friend on the radio. See, somebody just took a swig of wine right now.
Yeah.
Or at least a Dr. Pepper.
In the middle of the day, yeah.
Anyway, I say all this because if you missed the first segment of the show, you're thinking, what in the world is going on? Todd doubled up on his meds. Well, let me just say that is partially true. This is all about Dr. Oz in the White House. This is the headline from yesterday. Dr. Oz says Americans are under-babied. That's the phrase. It's a new term, under-babied, and he predicts an upcoming wave of Trump babies. Dr. Oz says one of the things you have to do is get moms healthy enough to do the most creative thing the universe knows, which is making babies. Roughly 30% of Americans are under-babied. This is according to Dr. Oz, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services are now predicting a new wave of Trump babies tied to the administration's efforts to reverse the nation's declining birth rate. And I want to stop here for a moment, and we'll read the quote here from Dr. Oz in just a moment. But this is actually it's a pretty darn serious thing. I mean, this is a national security matter now because you have aging boomers and there are not enough people to take care of them. There are not enough people in the workforce right now. And one of the reasons why is, you know, you've had, all right, Gen Xers, millennials, and now Gen Z, which may be, that's sort of a question mark right now, but at least you've got Gen Xers and millennials. And they just didn't have a lot of children. There's a big problem there. Now, you're going to hear all the experts and the psychologists pushing out all these theories as to why we are not, you know, making babies. But I want to posit a couple of theories here. Since really the 1960s, there has been an effort in this nation under the feminazi movement, the National Organization of Gals, as Rush Limbaugh once called them, or is it NAGS? Yes, the National Association of Gals, NAGS, that they have been telling women that there's something wrong with you if you want to be a stay-at-home mom, if you want to be a housewife, there's something wrong with you. You're not living up to your full potential. And they have been brainwashing generations of young girls and telling them that they're less than if they just stay home and have babies. On the other side, they've been medicating young boys. They've been telling them there's something wrong with you, little boy, if you're rambunctious, if you like to go outside and, you know, play fight or wrestle around, there's something wrong with you. So they're medicating the boys, and now you have these very docile, in some cases effeminate boys, have no interest in getting married, putting down roots, none of that stuff. And then you have the abortion industry, where billions of dollars have been spent to literally erase people from the face of the earth. Tens of millions of babies slaughtered. So you have to factor in all of this, and I wish they would be talking, and we need to have a national conversation about this. Dr. Oz says we're way below what we need just to replace the people that we have in America. He said of the birth rate, which has fallen steadily since around 2007, the term under-babied means you either don't have any children or you have less children than you would normally want to have. Dr. Oz says the new efforts by President Trump's administration to make fertility treatments more accessible, including through Trump RX, an online marketplace for discounted prescription drugs. So yesterday on yesterday, our good friend Kinsey Beach, who's a colleague of mine at Newsmax, she was on this story. By the way, Kinsey, I think she's probably dealing about your age. So this is important for perspective because I'm not sure she got my my joke at the end. Let's take a listen to Kinsey Beach. All right, Kinsey, what you got for us?
Hey there, Todd. Yeah, fertility and birth rates have drastically dropped in the U.S., and it's why President Trump continues to prioritize strong families in America. Part of this initiative is also lowering the cost for those hoping to start a family using fertility treatments.
To formally create a fertility benefit option for employers that can be offered to all employees outside of their normal health insurance plans. It's a big deal. They were not properly taken care of.
It's now easier for employers to cover fertility treatments, including in vitro fertilization, or IVF. President Trump's new initiative creates a new exempted insurance benefit in the same category as dental and vision benefits coverage for treating infertility.
This is a new benefit or an option that will be a major help for millions of American moms that will result in more beautiful American babies. We like that.
To reduce the cost of fertility care, the Trump administration negotiated reduced costs in treatment through Trump RX. The president stating what used to cost $966 now costs $168. So that's a 500% decrease in pharmaceutical costs. Now, since 2007, the general fertility rate in the U.S. has dropped 23%. That having a major impact on birth rates, according to the CDC. Republican Senator Katie Britt of Alabama also helped lead the charge on working family tax cuts, putting child care at the forefront.
As you work to provide for your family, today that is easier as a result, and we are proud of what that means for the economy. We know 24% of young families, our young families spend about 24% of their annual income on child care. So, Mr. President, thank you for all that you've done creating a comprehensive culture of life.
Last year alone, 455,000 women left the workforce due to affordability and accessibility of childcare. So this new initiative also works to change that. Todd, again, the president putting American families first.
All right, Kinsey, I got a lot of questions for you here. And first of all, look, I think this is a good thing that the president's addressing this. What, a couple of days ago, they were just saying there are just not enough American babies. And I'm wondering, have they been able to figure out why exactly? Is it, you know, folks just not wanting to have kids, or are things changing in the culture?
I think it's a big mix. Some people say it's the economy and the cost. So with these initiatives, they're also hoping to kind of remove that fear. Katie Britt really pushing for access in either low-income areas or rural areas, her being in Alabama. But then you also have just kind of this shift in culture, people putting it off. So I think seeing the Trump administration really pour into American families, supporting that and kind of giving that access and resources, hopefully we'll start to see these birth rates come up.
But also, you know, when you look at the culture at large, especially Gen Z, we've seen the stories about young people going back to church, embracing traditional values, and this move among, I guess, Gen Zers to actually start their families. And you wonder how that is going to make an impact in the country as well.
Yeah, I think also you have these Trump investment accounts. Just so many resources that I think we're going to kind of see the pendulum shift the other way. I mean, even here in New York, you have so many young people attending church, like you said, getting married younger and even starting their families younger. So hopefully in the next couple of years, we kind of see this shift the other way.
I'm waiting, Kinsey. President Trump holding maybe an Oval Office address telling the young people of America to grab a bottle of wine, get some, Isaac Hayes, Barry White, and start making babies.
Well, he said more beautiful babies. We all like that. So we hope to see it.
I wonder if she knew who Barry White was. Did I stump her?
She's going to look it up afterwards.
And the word 8-track.
Yeah.
What's an 8-track? But again, I love this idea. And President Trump he's bringing love back to America. And we need that, right? We need love, right? We need men and women, preferably married, in a biblical relationship, doing what God intended them to do. Right? Is there anything wrong with that? I don't think there is. You know what we need to do, Dylan? I'm calling an audible. Here's what we're going to do for the mating couples of America. We need to come up with a playlist, right? And that song right there is topping the list. And we're going to invite our listeners to call in. Is there a great song, men and women of the fertile Todd Stearns radio show listening audience? Are there songs that we need to add to our list? We'll open it up. America, helping America. That's what we do here. It's love American style. 901-260-5926. You know what? Forget Trump babies. We're going to have Todd babies. Dylan, imagine what we could do here. We're literally birthing a brand new audience.
What a service that we're doing right now.
God bless America. Wait a second. My pastor's calling me. He says, stop talking now. 901-260-5926. Do you have a song that you would like to recommend? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. It's me and you, America. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I love this song. That was the weirdest show. Our parents would not allow us to watch it, so we had to sneak. We had to sneak around them. But it was a funny little show back when in the 60s or 70s, late 60s, early 70s. Let's go to Mary listening to us on WOCA in the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. All right, Mary, do you have a recommendation for our baby-making playlist?
I think it's going to be played now, Star. Only You.
Only You. Oh, that is a great song, Mary.
Yes, that was my wedding song, my husband and I. I lost my husband a couple of years ago, so I like to hear it.
Mary, I don't know if you can hear this over the phone line, but I think Dylan's playing the song now.
Only you can make the dark.
Oh, Mary. Mary, that is a great song. Mary, does it bring back memories?
Oh, I think you'd be crying.
Oh, don't cry, Mary. Don't cry. It's a beautiful song.
Oh, that's why I'm crying. I missed him.
Oh, my. Mary, tell me, how long were you and your husband married?
34 years.
Is that right? Wow, what a wonderful life together. Well, Mary, God bless you. And, you know, we have a lot of fun on this show. But really, it is about love, and it's about that connection and, you know, starting a family and having a family and knowing there's nothing wrong with that. It's just something very natural. It's the natural part of life and what we do. Mary, you are a great lady, and I know you miss your husband, and I hope when you play that song, you're going to remember all the wonderful memories and great times that you two had together. God bless you, Mary. Let's go to Ron in Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. All right, Ron, what is your selection here? We've got Only You. That's our list right now.
I got several for you. We can go back with Barry White, Practice What You Preach, because one of my buddies, I never thought 43 years ago I'd try to throw a pitchfork at him down in Fontana, California, Bloomington, California, and he found a good woman. They've been married almost 30 years now.
Wow.
And he was playing Practice for What They Preach at their wedding. Second song, I would throw some Marvin Gaye on you, you know, some Let's Get It On or Sexual Healing. You know, there's always a good doctor.
Oh, yes. Sexual healing. Ron, I think that's what the president's trying to say. The nation needs a sexual healing.
That's right. And, you know, it might be, you heard of Marvin Cease, I'm sure, or Johnny Taylor. Some of their selections might be very intimate, has a storyline.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of Baptists listening, so we don't want to make them too nervous. But, yeah.
No, brother, but.
Let's keep it rated G. Well, that train's already left the station, so.
<I know. laughs> I'm telling you. Oh, but we need to pray for our country. And you know, and that's the thing is that as a child that was born in the 70s, seen Maxine Waters when I was 5 years old, and it's always a fugly sight, as I would say.
Yeah.
But overall, you know, we got to get back to having families. We got to get back to having and respecting the families and traditions and what made America. Right now, we're being outpopulated by the invaders, 3 to 7 kids at a time in Oregon. And California, I don't even want to go into it. And then you got some of the reason why your prices of gas shot up so high is a lot of people that came over from India, the Hindus, the Punjab and Sikhs having 2 or 3 wives, sometimes not on the payroll, you know, on the Great Society welfare roll, and having 5 or more kids.
I don't want to get too far off the reservation here, so we're writing down your suggestions. Barry White, we're going to put some Marvin Gaye on the list. Well done, sir. Let's try to work in Beverly in Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Beverly. What's on your mind? Hello, Beverly.
Hey, Todd, I got one for you, and I don't even have a sweetheart right now. I mean, I'm just going to live the rest of my life out. If I had one, my favorite love song would be I'm Going to Love You Forever and Ever, Amen. And I cannot remember who sings it, but it's a country song.
Well, that is it's a great country song. And, Beverly, I'm just going to tell you, WDUN, that is a talk radio baby-making radio machine. I guarantee you there was someone in the audience who was looking for a lovely miss, and I guarantee you're going to be able to find your mister. I'm just going to predict that right now. So, Beverly, God bless you. We've got to run, and we're playing. We've got a little bit of a great song for you here as we call it an hour. Beverly, thanks for listening. Hang tight. We'll be right back, everybody.
For you always will be. Not just time that I'm killing.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Oh man, this is a weird show today, folks. I just want to warn you, it's just we're a little off kilter. Hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the Big Show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Coming up in just a few moments, Indiana Governor Mike Braun is going to be joining us, talking about what happened there in the primary, and all of those anti-Trump lawmakers got their rear ends handed to them. So we're going to talk to him about that. Also, Indiana suspending the gas tax, which is a great move. And we're also going to talk politics as well. So in the last hour, we had something weird. And Dylan, you'll have to, you can back me up on this. Sometimes things just happen organically. And the story about President Trump and urging Americans to have babies, which we had a lot of fun with, but it really is a serious topic. But we have decided to do our small part here on the Todd Stearns radio show, and we want to do whatever is necessary to put our audience in the mood. I mean, just that's pretty much what we're doing. So we're creating a list of baby making music. That's what we're doing, and we're inviting you to call in, and many of you have already done so. And you have given us your suggestions. We're going to post the list on the website after the show. So we're going to compile the list. So if you have a suggestion, is there a certain love song that really just, I don't know, revs your engine? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. Shanklin sent us a note. Says he's recommending Afternoon Delight. Thank you, Mr. Shanklin. We will mark that down. So give us a call, 901-260-5926, if you would like to add a song to the list. Dylan, I know you're the big music aficionado. I mean, that's your degree. from the University of Memphis.
Yeah, this is true.
Got any favorite tunes over there?
I do. I can play it for you if you want, but it's the Josh Turner "Your Man."
Oh, let's see that. I haven't heard that one. It's
been a minute.
Oh, well, this country music.
Country music, but it can get you in the mood anytime.
Oh yeah.
But here's the thing: I only want the first line of this song.
Baby, lock the door and turn the lights down low.
You know, we do that every day before we start the show.
Exactly.
Baby,
it's no difference.
It's none whatsoever.
I hope you understand.
We just make sweet love on the radio with the microphone. Oh, that kind of sounded weird. It sounded better in my mind. I'm just saying. That's a good song, though. You can't go wrong with country music songs. Those are always great songs.
Yeah, and if the singer has a low voice, I mean, what can go wrong there? I mean, Barry White did it perfectly.
You've got to. And the phones are just exploding right now with folks wanting to weigh in. Let's go. You know what? We're going right to the phones here. Let's go to Kay in Georgia, listening to us on WTUN. Kay, how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Kay, let's talk about songs. Is there a song that you would like to add to the baby-making music list?
My number one song is Josh Turner's "Your Man."
Well, we just play. Well, let's go ahead, Dylan. You got to give her. Got to help Kay out here.
There's no hurry. Don't you worry. We can take our time. Come a little closer.
Okay, you got to sing a little bit now.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, Kay, this is a great song, and we are adding that to our list. Kay, you never know what's going to happen on this show, do you?
I love that song, and no, because I didn't think I'd actually be on there.
Well, Kay, well, you did a great job, and you represented all of Gainesville, Georgia right now, and you know that people in their cars were singing along as you shared that great tune. Kay, thank you. Let's go to Mark in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hey, Mark, what song do you have for us?
It's Love in the Back Seat, Todd.
Love in the Back Seat. I don't believe I've heard that song.
Oh, you got to hear that one, man. That's a procreation for sure.
Well, we are procreation. We are procreation here on the Todd Starnes Show. I love it. You know what's going to happen here, Mark? In about 30 minutes, I'm going to get a call from the police chief saying, what in the world have you been talking about on the radio?
FCC is looking for you, man.
That's it. Well, we're trying to keep it all within those guidelines. Mark, we're going to check out your song. We'll try to play it during the show today. And we appreciate you listening to our local affiliate there in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to the governor of Indiana. We're also going to be taking your calls as we do our part to help President Trump make more American babies. Give us a call with your recommendations for the Baby Making Music Playlist. 901-260-5926. This is the weird edition of the Todd Starnes Show. We'll be right back.
I'm no longer one of those guys. As sure as I live, this love that I give.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us, and we're going to get back to your recommendations for President Trump, the president calling on Americans to, well, have more babies. And we are doing our part by creating a playlist inspired by Barry White. So the Baby Making Music Playlist, and you can give us a call if you have a suggestion, 901-260-5926. You know, I want to switch gears for just a moment here and take a look at what's been happening in Indiana. There are so many wonderful, wonderful people there, conservatives, that are doing some incredible work and chief among them is the governor. Governor Mike Braun joins us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Governor, I hope you're doing well.
You're doing fine, Todd. We're getting a lot done in Indiana. In the 6 years I spent in the U.S. Senate, we accomplished a lot there as well with a good innovative team. But here you can actually check off deliverables that you can't in Senate because you need 60 senators to agree to it. So from affordability to health care reform, tackling utility rates, we've been doing a lot in a year and 4 months.
You sure have, Governor. And before you mentioned the Senate, and we had Senator Marsha Blackburn on yesterday, and it was so disheartening to hear her say that they don't even have the 50 votes they need within their own caucus to get the Save America Act across the finish line. And I think one of the things I respect about you is that you campaigned on promises and you're delivering on those promises. And I really do think that's a message that every single Republican in the nation needs to embrace.
And the fact is, when you're doing it from a place where you can't even get your entire party on board with things like budget reform, doing more with less, hell, that place, you know, borrows 30 cents on every dollar. We live within the framework of a balanced budget amendment to our state constitution, and we're leaning up our own state government to make it run more efficiently, so we're getting a dividend from that, and we're approaching it in terms of how I organize state government from a sprawling system of 70 agencies. I convinced 8 private sector people to come in and head up those policy silos of education, healthcare, infrastructure, energy, and that is making a big difference because any bureaucracy, even among your well-run states, it's never going to run quite like a business, and I spent 37 years doing that before I became a U.S. senator, so it's helped me in both places, to be honest.
When you look at what's been happening in the state, of course, there was a huge primary shakeup. You've been very outspoken about what was happening in the Senate there in Indiana. I'm curious, what do you make out of this, and what is the lesson for Republicans to learn?
Well, we had the misfortune of our state Senate digging in on that hill and dying upon it here as of the primary here recently. What they were thinking when Trump was after getting a fair level playing field that has been gerrymandered into a disadvantage for Republicans, the tune of maybe 20 or 30 congressional seats across the country, not to mention the way you count citizens and non-citizens to construct a congressional district of 750,000, 20 million illegal immigrants in this country. You've got over 20 seats that may be housed in places like California, Illinois, and New York, where they've got more congressional seats. And by the way, those places are run so poorly, people are moving out of those states. That won't be reflected probably until the decade redistricting. So to me, New England, Indiana, Massachusetts, same size population, they've had 9 congressional blue seats for 20 years. That means they've been gerrymandered for 20 years. And we have got the same number, and we've got 2 seats. We're both 60-40. Ours reflects the uneven playing field, and those senators didn't see it, and almost all of them lost their seat in the primary just a few days ago.
I think I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. It seems to me that maybe, I think voters nationwide are really frustrated. They see the president's agenda getting jammed up on Capitol Hill. They see Democrats at the state level playing hardball. I mean, you see what happened in Virginia, for example, California. At the end of the day, Governor, I'm concerned that as we head into the midterms, that we are going to have maybe a demoralized Republican Party. How do we fix that?
Well, I think you've recently seen what the Supreme Court did on racial gerrymandering. I think when it all nets out, Virginia obviously was something that was beyond the pale, and that has been rejected. Republicans could end up with, you know, maybe 7 to 10 seats But that's only about half the distance, or maybe a third of what is more structurally gerrymandered. So we need to keep pushing to even that playing field. And then got to always remind the voter, you know what it was like under Biden. He gave us the 25 to 30% inflation that we've all been shouldering for the last year and 4 months or year and a half. They have the audacity to say they're the party of affordability when they want to grow government, not the private sector. Sometimes it takes a little bit of explaining. You normally don't do as well in the midterms with the party in power. I'm hoping we articulate better than we normally do, make sure we paint the picture of what it was like under the Biden administration, and hopefully hang on to the House. If not, we're going to be in another period where you get nothing done. They'll go after Trump on many different fronts. It'll set the country back. Things have been going so well. We get the thing in the Mideast settled, which I hope that does find a resolution. If they capitalize on all that, we can't let them build a case based upon things generally working well. The border, so much has been good. They generally are faster footed than we are, Todd, and they articulate that argument, and they always offer more government that they pay for by borrowing from future generations.
Indiana Governor Mike Braun joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. And Governor, you mentioned inflation, which is ticking up just a bit. A lot of that being blamed on the war right now. And of course, gas prices are going up all over the place. I live in Tennessee. This is where we base our national show. I paid $4.69 for a gallon of regular unleaded. I'm glad to see the move you made. I want you to tell our listeners what you have done to help out folks there in Indiana when it comes to these gas prices.
So constitutionally, I've got the ability to actually suspend certain taxes. And over a month ago, I did it on the first round on our sales tax on fuel, which amounted to a 17-cent savings per gallon. Sadly, wholesale cost of fuel has gone up. I renewed it, Todd, for another 30 days, so that's gone up to a 23-cent saving. And then the other even larger tax is our excise tax on fuel. That's 36 cents. So Hoosiers are benefiting from about a 59-cent reduction in what they pay at the pump, which is over a 12% savings. So I'm going to do everything I can. We're a well-run state, and we can afford it. Affordability is real, and I mentioned it earlier. It's not only on fuel. It's on housing. It is on property taxes. It is on utility rates, and especially health care costs. And we're taking them all on, and remember, we're running state government more efficiently. So lowering costs, dividend from better running of state government, and our economic growth, listen to this, is twice as fast as Ohio's and Illinois's, three times as fast as Kentucky's,
wow,
six times as fast as Michigan's. It's nearly a 3% GDP growth. So we're outperforming all of the Midwestern peer states on growing the economy to boot.
Well, I think you just became America's favorite governor by what you just said there. Governor, we'd love to get you back on sometime. I mean, you're right. You guys are doing so many things right in Indiana, and we'd love to get you back on the show sometime soon.
Hey, look forward to it. And I'll finish with this. Having signed the front side of a paycheck for 37 years makes the governor's job much easier than if you had not. It made a big difference in the Senate as well.
Well said. All right, Governor Mike Braun, great American patriot. Governor, thank you, and we appreciate you joining us today.
My pleasure.
All right, there you go. Mike Braun, the governor of Indiana, suspending the gas tax, which is, I'm sure, a lot of people are going to be happy about that. And also, not surprised at all at what happened to those senators there in the state senators in the Indiana primary. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Bob in Houston, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. And Bob, I understand that you may have a song to recommend.
Yeah, I was going to recommend Elvin Bishop came out with Fooled Around and Fell in Love. It was back in the 70s, and it was a big hit song. I think that might help increase the population.
Oh, this is good. Fool Around and Fall in Love. I think, Dylan, is this the song? Oh, that's nice. So, Bob, you have experience with the songs. No, don't mean to pry.
Oh, yeah. Made a lot of babies with that one.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Got a lot of practice making babies.
Okay. That may be TMI. But at least you can vouch for the song, Bob. I guess that's the silver lining here. It works.
Yeah. Good personal experience. Yeah, I highly recommend it.
All right, Bob, well, look, you just never know what's going to happen on this show. One minute we're talking to the governor of Indiana, and now we're talking about baby-making music.
All right, thanks, Todd.
All right, my friend. Thanks, Bob, Houston, Texas. Dylan, I kind of like this one.
It's a great song.
You know, say what you will about the rest of the world, we've got the best music on the planet. Got to take a break here, everybody. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Dylan, you're getting a little misty.
Such a good song.
She really was one of the best singers in the country.
Sometimes I forget about Whitney Houston, and I'm glad that I'm being reminded now.
But you know who actually covered this song first? Was it Dolly Parton?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. It's wow. Hold on. Come on now. Okay, and it goes on and on and on. But anyway, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You say, what in the world is going on today? Well, the President of the United States coming out yesterday and saying that Americans need to start making more Americans. And we are doing our part here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show by creating what we are calling a baby-making music playlist. And you guys have delivered incredible songs. Our next guest has actually contributed the song you just heard to the list, the one, the only, Liz Peek. Liz!
I really love this. What fun. What a good idea. And by the way, he's right. We do need more babies. And you know what? I mean, honestly, the whole savaging of motherhood and family and baby making on social media, to me, is just such a sad, sad commentary on sort of the state of mind of young people, and particularly young women. I find young women afraid of having children. Who ever even thought about it? I mean, it was just something that we went ahead and did because it was the right thing to do. And guess what? There's going to be a point in all these people's lives where they will look back and say, this is a terrible decision, because having children, raising children, I think is the most unbelievable gift you can give yourself. And so anyway, I'm pretty pro-family. We have three children. One of our kids has three children. I think the others will get there. I'm delighted. I couldn't be happier for them.
It's a wonderful thing, and to see so many, especially young people, and I see this at our church, kids that are, you know, in their early 20s getting married, and, you know, they're starting families. One 22-year-old, and he and his wife just shared the news that they're going to become parents for the very first time. And what a great thing of joy and celebration. And I'm just really excited about all of this for what the president did yesterday.
And honestly, it's a very, you know, you look at Europe, it's just weirdly stopped having kids. And, you know, you read these stories about in Italy, men aren't even dating anymore. And I don't know what's happened to people. But anyway, thankfully, the United States is not quite at that terrible place. But our birth rate's low. There's no question about it. People are not replacing themselves. And, you know, again, for anyone listening, I encourage you, don't think about it. Just do it.
Yeah.
Because it really changes your life in an absolutely spectacular way.
I know RFK Jr. did the whole MAHA movement. Today we have launched the MAFA movement, the Make America Fertile Again movement.
I love it.
By the way,
I'm great.
Liz, we got to talk about your column. There is some brand new polling data out of California, and I am so intrigued by the debates, not just the gubernatorial stuff, but Spencer Pratt and the mayor's race in Los Angeles. But this new polling from Emerson shows Javier Becerra hopping up into the lead now, 19%, Hilton at 17%. Tied with Tom Steyer, and then Chad Bianco at 11%. Of course, this is a jungle primary, so the top two vote-getters will advance. How does all of this play out there? I mean, this is going to be a tough slog for the Republicans, but it still looks doable.
It's a tough slog because, as you well know, and I'm sure your listeners know, California is probably, I think it's about two times registered Democrats to registered Republicans, and then there's a big part of the state that's independents that tend to lean left. So it's very hard to break through that, obviously. I think I've seen other polls, three polls actually, that does have Becerra crawling his way to the top, but Steve Hilton also right up there. So the Emerson's a little bit of a change, I think, in that I think those two guys are ahead substantially of Steyer and Chad Bianco. Kudos to Chad Bianco, by the way. I didn't think he would really hold up as far as he has, as long as he has. But anyhow, I think there's a good chance that Steve Hilton gets there. I think, you know, what Trump said to black voters in 2016, what do you have to lose? I mean, that really resonates to me in terms of California. California's a mess. It is chronically facing massive budget shortfalls, unemployment, homelessness, all the things that are wrong with the state have not been addressed by the management of the state, and yet taxes keep going up. It's pretty hilarious to me always that Democrats talk about affordability when, without a question, the most unaffordable places in the country are all run by Democrats, and that includes San Francisco and L.A. and other California cities. So in the terms of the governor's race, it's tough. In terms of L.A., in terms of the L.A. mayoral race, it's pretty fascinating because, yeah, Spencer Pratt, who not long ago was one of the most hated individuals in the world on social media because of his social media presence and whatever, and now he has tapped into really profound anger about the management of the city, about the fires that burned down his house and his family's house, parents' house. You know, he's made these great videos. We all know that politics today is nothing without TikTok, of him living in a trailer park, the inner trailer, calling out Karen Bass for, let's face it, being AWOL when the fires happened, being completely clueless about, A, how they should have been prevented, B, how to fix it and rebuild, and C, how to make sure it never happens again. I mean, on all, it's three strikes and you're out, and she really should be out. She's a particularly unappealing political candidate, I think. By the way, Becerra's not much better. I mean,
no.
He's like dull as dishwater. And so anyway, I think one good thing about if it turns out that Karen Bass is really the rival for Spencer, then and also if Hilton teams off against Becerra, in neither race do you have a big insurgent Mamdani-like character from the far left who's going to energize young voters and get new people signed up to vote, et cetera. That isn't happening in those races, and that's a good thing for the Republicans.
I know you point out in your column over at LizPeak.com, going back to just the overall high cost of living in California, 70% in a CBS poll says just unmanageable right now. And I know a good buddy of mine, Joe Messina, hosts a radio show out in Santa Clarita, and it was like gas almost $8 a gallon out there.
Yeah, and it's policy driven. I mean, yes,
right.
Gas prices are up across the country because of the Iran war, no question about it. But in California, it is purposeful. They don't want people driving gasoline-powered cars. They want everyone switching to electric. And when they actually mandated all kinds of rules and regulations to make that happen, then the next thing was people got a notice saying, by the way, please don't charge your cars during the day because we'll have blackouts. So it isn't like they prepared or thought ahead about what the electrification of the state required in the way of a new grid, new energy sources, et cetera. They just thought it would all work out, and guess what? It has not. So you have these preposterous situations where they're importing all of their fossil fuels because they refuse to develop what are still, I think, substantial oil and gas reserves offshore California, onshore California even. They don't want anything to do with it, so instead they're bringing in energy from out of the state. I mean, the whole thing is so mind-boggling, really. But anyway, so yeah, but it isn't just energy in California. I've done work and written about the prohibitive cost of building, for example, a new apartment building or a new home. Part of it is, you know, that there's seven different layers of permitting and legal fees and all the stuff that you have to apply for in order to do any kind of construction, all of which means that things you build in California tend to be two or three times what they are in Texas.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
At some point, it's just too much.
You're absolutely right about that. Liz, real quick, before we have to let you go, nationwide, of course, gas prices are a big issue, and they're going up all over the place, and you mentioned it's because of the war. My concern is this war is, it seems to be dragging on now, and this was supposed to be a quick 4 to 5 week adventure. We knew that was probably not going to be the case. My concern is, at what point do we say, uh-oh, this could be a problem for us in the midterms?
Oh, I think it already is a problem in the midterms. It's given Democrats a lot to yell and scream about, but it can still, there's still time for it to reverse. And honestly, Todd, having done what we have done with Iran, and spent the money and the blood and the treasure and all the rest of this stuff to take out their military, take out their navy, decimate their two ranks of authority, I think the worst thing now would be for Trump to feel so much political pressure that he basically caves. We have got to make sure that Iran does not have a nuclear weapon. Does that mean three more months of rising oil prices? So be it. I know it's not easy. I know people are hurting because of this increase in energy costs. But I do believe it's temporary. President Trump has seen to it that America's resources are within reach and being exploited. People don't realize how much there is yet to come from Alaska, from Venezuela, from Guyana. There's a tremendous amount of oil available in the next decade. We're not going to run out of oil. This is truly a temporary hiccup. And again, it's not pleasant, but we cannot walk away from Iran with them winning. And that's really what it would be, particularly since we've roped in all the Gulf countries are now teaming with us. My God, that would be such a disaster in terms of geopolitics, I think.
Liz, always fun having you on, and we appreciate all the great work you're doing. Always fun to see you on Fox News and, of course, LizSpeak.com.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Liz. Care. Great lady right there. Liz Peek, everybody. So there you go. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, this segment brought to you by our friends at Newsmax. 70 million Americans are collecting Social Security benefits. Millions more are going to join soon. And a new study finds, get this, 70% of you guys are not getting the full benefits you deserve. Recipients, however, can use some simple strategies to boost your benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. Now, Social Security expert Michael Allen says it's true. It's all in his free special report, and all you have to do is call to get that free report. 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. We're going to send you all the information right away. That's 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. All right, let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Shelby, listening to KWAM. Hi, Shelby, what's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind is making children. No, I wanted to say the song that is my husband and my song, and he remembered it.
Really?
Right, and I just asked him, and he said he remembered exactly what it was. We started dating. I was 15 years old, and we dated 4 years. I got married at 19. We've been married 59 years.
Wow.
We have four children, 12 grandchildren, 9 great-grandchildren, and 1 on the way.
Is that what a great family you've got, Shelby?
Yes. And they're all Christians. I got preachers. I got preachers galore and ministers. So we're doing good.
Well, it sounds like, so what's the secret here? I mean, you guys have been married for a long time. You've got a wonderful family. What's the secret sauce?
The secret is we were married all through Vietnam, and he was overseas. And the secret is, I don't know. All I know is it's work, that it's worth it. But we just hung on to God. Just hung on to God. And we put that to our children. And I guess that's it.
Good times, good times, bad times. You got to hold on to God.
We had normal times just like everybody else, good and bad.
But show me, you got to tell us, so what is, this is a big build up here, so what is the song?
When a man falls in love, when a man falls in love, is that it?
When a man loves a woman.
When a man loves a woman, that's
okay. That's a great song.
When a man loves a woman.
Now, Shelby, let me ask you a question. Is your husband there?
Right here.
Well, I hope you guys are dancing right now. I mean, on the radio.
I got a big kiss for Mother's Day right out in the front yard. We got pictures of it.
Is that right?
So you know what?
What's that?
He's on his way out with the dog. He goes, hey, Dick, God said we ought to be dancing now. He's grinning.
I love it. I love it. Well, Shelby, God bless you, and God bless your husband, and thank you for listening to our affiliate in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM, and we hope you have another wonderful 59 years together.
Thank you.
All right, God bless. I don't know if I'm a big fan of this song.
Doesn't do it for you?
You know, it is what it
is. Well, it's on the list, so...
By the way, could you tell Helen the name of the song is not Seasonal Love? It's not seasonal.
Yeah, she did. Like, she hates winter, so you have to heal from winter.
Winter's not good. Oh, my word. What have we created today? This is insane. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, and we're still taking your questions. The lovely Miss Helen has compiled a list, and we're going to publish this on the website after the show, our official Making Baby Music playlist, doing our part to make America fertile again. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. A crazy story, and we're going to get into this in the next hour. Planet Fitness has come under fire again. There was a lady, this is all happening in New Hampshire, and a lady says that Planet Fitness canceled her gym membership after she complained about a man undressing in the women's locker room. One of the staffers there at Planet Fitness in New Hampshire accused her of being transphobic. Judy Walcott has been a longtime member of the location in Concord, New Hampshire, and she tells Fox that she felt unsafe. I no doubt about that. She says, I was shaking like I was actually trembling because it freaked me out that bad. So she rushed to the front desk, and a young employee told her there was nothing they could do because it was company policy. She raised the issue again 4 days later with another staff member, but the employee said she was transphobic. And then a few hours later, the gym manager called her to tell her membership had been canceled for a policy violation. She asked what policy she violated, and they refused to say. And that's really unfortunate. This is not the first time this has happened with Planet Fitness. But clearly, they do not care about the safety of women or girls in their gyms, and you guys need to be aware of that. By the way, they also called the police. They called the police on the woman, and she was told she's no longer allowed. She went there because she wanted her money back, and the police said if she showed up again that she would be arrested for trespassing. There's a lovely, sweet woman here, and quite frankly, shame on you, Planet Fitness. Jeez, Lou. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour three coming up, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Great to have you with us today. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Dylan, I got a note. You know, tonight's Wednesday, and of course, at least in the southern states, you know what Wednesday night is. It's Wednesday church prayer meeting.
Yes.
And I've been ordered to go to church tonight.
Yeah, me too.
I'm being told that our show has been somewhat, dare I say, risque.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a smidge.
But it's overall healing, I think.
I think what kind of healing?
Not seasonal healing.
Oh, Helen, so poor Helen, sweet innocent Helen. She's writing down, you know. And again, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. Let me set up the story here. President Trump, of course, calling on Americans to make more babies. This is a very important thing. Many of you are not, and I got to get looks. Let's get real. I mean, who really wants to mate with, you know, a woman wearing nose rings and purple hair and driving around in a Subaru wearing Birkenstocks? I don't think many people do. On the other side of the table, nobody wants to, you know, go out and date with a wispy little fella wearing a man bun. Not that we have a problem with man buns. Actually, I do have a problem with man bun and mullets. But anyway, we've been doing our part. I know the president came out yesterday making all these announcements. And we need a little Barry White here to set the music, set the scene again, and the mood, quite frankly. But anyway, we've launched an effort here today on the Todd Starnes Radio Show called the MAFA Movement, the Make America Fertile Again Movement. And as a part of that, we have created the Todd Starnes Show Baby Making Music Playlist, and we have dozens of songs. I mean, you guys have been keeping the lovely Miss Helen busy. But again, Miss Helen, it is not seasonal love. That is sexual. Sorry, I'm a Baptist. It's hard to say those kinds of words. By the way, Dylan, I understand we are hearing from a lot of our listeners.
Yeah, our influence has gotten personal.
Vast.
Yeah.
It is vast.
Yes.
Just like our love.
Our love.
We love America. And we want... We want you to love America.
Yes.
And we want you to love Americans.
Exactly.
Provided you're already married and, you know, follow all the commandments.
Amen, Brother Starnes.
Don't covet another woman's ass. Is that what the... No, that's the wrong commandment. Dadgummit, I'm going to get put on another prayer list.
Here's another one.
Thank you for that. All right, 901-260-5926. I'm really scared to go to our next caller, Steve Gill, who is the publisher of TriStar Daily. So, Steve, if you've been hearing reports from Nashville about what the hell is wrong with Todd Starnes, has he been on his meds or is he off his meds? Well, this is the reason why.
I just think it's lack of gravy. I mean, now that you're no longer consuming gravy, your whole mental capacity has diminished from the lack of whatever vitamins and minerals and graviness was pouring into your system. But I do not think that Wednesday night church combined with playing Barry White music is going to save you at this point.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think so. They're like, I told you he was Episcopalian, Marge.
I can't think of a single Barry White song that is not sexual in content. Now, wait,
right?
I love Barry White. I like, what was it? David Letterman years ago did a segment on words that sound sexy when Barry White says them with that deep resonant voice, and one of them was gingivitis. I mean, he could make gingivitis sound sexy.
Gingivitis. It does kind of sound sexy, though. I mean, I'm going to be honest here. We're getting real with you, America. That's all we're doing, Steve. We've got to talk politics though, because there's a lot happening. In a lot of states. First, I want to talk about Tennessee. And I have great respect for Cameron Sexton, who is the Speaker of the House there in Tennessee, who came out yesterday, and all these radicalized Democrats who have been causing holy you-know-what, really it's unholy you-know-what, up on up at the Capitol, and he has now stripped them of all their committee assignments. I'm glad to see the Republicans in Tennessee playing hardball here.
Well, and I was down in the midst of them last week with a cameraman interviewing people, recording, videotaping, and as I've told people, I don't need to play any of the interviews. What they said on the floor, what they said in the committee hearings are irrelevant. What they said and did in their behavior,
yeah,
people just need to see it for themselves, and nothing they did up there, particularly what their activists and radicals were doing, F-bombing people and their shouts of Klan and Nazi and all this other stuff, none of that's going to win rural or suburban voters to their side. So they're not making political gains with their tantrum. And then you have Justin Pearson and the rest that were literally, you know, using megaphones and air horns and things on the floor, burning a paper copy of the Confederate battle flag on the floor of the House. Everything they were doing were clear violations of House rules, and now they're shouting, well, he's just silencing black voices. Well, keep in mind that a couple of the legislators who lost their committee assignments because of their behavior in violation of House rules were white people, kind of like the white Jewish congressman in Memphis that they're saying is, you know, is the epitome of black voice and black vote in Memphis. It wasn't targeted at black folks. It was targeted at behavior in violation of the rules. And to his credit, Speaker Cameron Sexton is enforcing them. I don't think Justin Pearson, who's running for Congress in Memphis, I don't think he qualified to run again for his House district. So he will not be stripped of his committee assignment next year because he won't be in the legislature anyway.
Well, I appreciate what Cameron Sexton did. I still think it's not good enough. And some of the things that happened inside that Capitol building, if it had been white people doing this and directing all of that hate and the threats and the intimidation against blacks, they would be in jail. And Steve, we did a little bit of research here. There were actually black people wearing KKK masks inside that building. That is a Class A misdemeanor if it is done with the intent to intimidate, threaten, or deprive others of their civil rights. And that's exactly what was going on. And the noose.
They were marching with the Klan masks on or Klan hoods on. The others were waving nooses, ropes, as they brandished them. You know, and again, they were screaming, you know, Klan, Nazi, all this kind of stuff. Apparently, they forgot that the Klan were Democrats. The Jim Crow signs, those were Democrats. Everything they're complaining about was what was done by Democrats to blacks in the South, not Republicans.
And Steve, and again, when you're talking about Justin Pearson here, he's got a new campaign ad out. He's running for the 9th Congressional District in that race, and we're going to get to that in just a second. But his ad, it is horrifying, and he makes you think that people in Memphis, Tennessee are still going out, white people are going out and lynching black people. You know, the last time a black person or any person was lynched in Memphis was 1917, and as horrible as that is, I don't think it's really that big of an issue right now when it comes to crime and safety in Memphis.
Yeah, when the best example you have of truly racist behavior is over 100 years ago, it's kind of hard to put that into current context. And yet again, when Justin Pearson was screeching and screaming and hollering and dancing in a Memphis church at a graduation, you'll note he was using his Justin Pearson, Malcolm X, you know, black pastor voice, not his wife. I went to Bowdoin College in Maine voice. So again, this guy is a complete pretender in every way possible.
Meanwhile, in South Carolina, they had an opportunity to redistrict there, and what a disaster that turned out to be. You literally had, I think we've got this audio here somewhere of the, Dylan, if we've got it, the South Carolina Republican, Shane Massey, the leader of the state Senate, and he's out there defying Trump and leading the leading Republicans to defy the president on the redistricting, and sure enough, they were able to upend it. I'm looking for the all right. I don't have that. If I don't have it on my list, but Steve, again, it's Republicans not manning up and fighting back.
Well, and again, apparently the news is a little slow in South Carolina. the Republican rhinos in South Carolina apparently haven't seen the election results from Indiana, where those who did the same thing there were literally wiped out in their primaries. Guys who've been serving as long as Shane Matthews in South Carolina, obliterated at the polls. Now, this guy thinks he's untouchable because he hadn't had primary opposition the last couple of cycles. He is not up with a primary election until 2 years from now. But I don't think people in South Carolina are going to forget, regardless of whether Governor McMaster and the Republican leadership is able to force through the redistricting plan that South Carolinians overwhelmingly support. They will not forget it in 2 years. And maybe by that time, he will see the election results from Indiana and realize that his time is done. What should happen today in South Carolina, Republicans in the Senate should strip him of his leadership position immediately. Let him cast his vote, but he can cast them from the back of the room.
Yeah, I still think Justin Pearson ought to be expelled after what he did to that state trooper. That's just unacceptable. Real quick here, there is a congressional race, and there's a guy that you and I both know, State Senator Brent Taylor, who really led the effort to bring the plight of Memphis to the nation's attention, and a lot of people running. How do you think this all plays out? Who do you think the front runner might be?
Well, I think Brent Taylor, state senator from Memphis, is the clear front runner. First of all, it's almost a replay, a little bit in reverse, when Senator Marsha Blackburn ran for Congress in a district drawn by Democrats in 2000 after the census then. It was a district that ran from Williamson County, just south of Nashville, across the southern part of the state to Memphis. And Brent Taylor, Congressman David Kustoff, who's now in Congress now, and Mark Norris, who's a federal judge in Memphis, they all ran from that western portion of the district. Marsha Blackburn ran from the eastern. She won because they divided up the Memphis vote. This time, you have Senator Brent Taylor, who's already put $1 million of his own money in. He's already been endorsed by Senator Marsha Blackburn, Senator Bill Haggerty, Congressman Jim Merchant, and a dozen or so of his fellow state senators, with the million to $2 million he'll have at his disposal, with the endorsements he has, and with this district in 9 now being not a plus 23 Democrat district as it was before, but with the redistricting, it's about a plus 12 Republican district. He should win the primary handily and then should win the general election in November as well.
I think there is, and he would be, and Brent Taylor would be, we had him on the show yesterday, would be a tremendous asset to the Freedom Caucus. He is a rock-solid conservative. But I think the lesson for the rest of the country is to take a long, hard look at who the Democrats are going to pick, a guy who is a radical leftist. And when you put – and people were laughing at me a couple of years ago when I said this, Steve. But everybody was making fun of AOC and how far left she was. I said, you just wait, because the people coming up after her – are going to make AOC look like a reasonable person. And when you put her alongside Justin Pearson, that's exactly what happens.
Well, and people ask me all the time, Todd, and I'm sure they ask you, why is it that there are no moderate to basically southern conservative Democrats anymore? Their party has moved so far to the left that a moderate Democrat cannot win in a Democrat primary. It is so inhabited by the far-left radical extremists that we saw on those videos at the Capitol last week. That's the Democratic Party. So they're going to continue to nominate folks like that. I think that as we have rational people around the country, they're going to continue to reject the far-left extremists that are winning in their primaries. But there is no room in the Democrat Party for somebody who is an old-style Democrat, from just old-style 20 years ago, moderate Democrat, because they will get destroyed in a primary. That's why you have Schumer and Pelosi and others that are so terrified of their left that they can't push back against them.
All right, Steve Gill, publisher of TriStarDaily.com. Go and check out that great website, Steve. We're going to have to leave it there. Always appreciate your analysis.
Thanks, my friend. We'll talk soon.
All right.
Gravy for you today, since you are now on the black
list. Yeah, no gravy. No. Thank you for that. Yeah, Dell and I was at Whole Foods again last night. I still park in the EV parking.
That's just your way to revolt against them for even being there.
Well, that's the whole side. It's like they've got the other side is, of course, for handicap parking. Yes. And then they've got like, I don't know, eight bays right there in the very front in front of the grocery carts for the EV. Nobody drives EV around here.
No. I've seen one Cybertruck.
Otherwise, all the rest of us have to walk a mile to get inside the supermarket. Just sitting there. It's
good for you, Todd.
I was going to see if I could plug in my phone, maybe get a good charge, but you know,
the thing charges to 100 in 1 second.
I think I need an adapter. It's all right, we got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I feel like I ought to be running an 80s love song station.
At this point, yeah.
That's a great song, though. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show as we continue our MAFA movement, Make America Fertile Again. And we are doing our part. Let's go to the phone. Statesville, North Carolina. Patty listening to us on WSIC. Patty, I can't wait to hear your song.
Oh, well, it was my husband and I's wedding song. Well, we had a couple of songs we were going to pick out. We're going to, you know, but we, this is, and it's not from the 80s. It's like early 60s, early 70s. It's called Never My Love by the Association. It's the most beautiful song ever.
Wow. So it's called Never My Love.
By the Association.
By the Patty, I think we've got it here. Let's take a listen. Is this it?
Never my love. Never my love.
Oh, sorry. I like to sing along. Patty, this is a great song.
Yeah. It's a great song.
Patty, I think we need to have more shows like this where, you know, chaos, we're going to cover it, but we got to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah. So, can I ask you a question?
Real quick. Yeah, we got 15 seconds.
Okay. What do you think, from your point of view, what do you really think that he's going to achieve over or with China?
Well, look, President Trump is the master negotiator. And I think we're going to come away with some good deals. Let's see how it all plays out. Clearly, there are a lot of big players that are along on the trip with the president. And I think no matter what happens, America is going to come out better on the other side, Patty. I really do. So, but let's step back and let's see how it plays out. Patty, I got to run. Great question. Really great song. Coming up, our guys from Strategic Financial Partners. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. By the way, Mrs. Shanklin writing in, by the way, Dylan says, Love Is All Around by the Troggs. I don't think I've heard of them before.
I haven't either. I'm going to look it up.
Love Is All Around. The Shanklins are musical aficionados. So there you go. Keep those suggestions coming in, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. poor Chris Loftus, you have no idea what you just walked into today, do you?
I'm starting to get an inkling, but yeah. I'm kind of regretting being curious.
No inklings in the studio today,
no,
not with the mood lighting. Chris Loftus, our financial services rep at Strategic Financial Partners, and one of the things that we really stress on this program is that we want you to be prepared. And it doesn't matter what part of your life, we want to really help you. And one of the most important things is to make sure that your financial health is in good order. I know a lot of you folks are retiring or getting close to retiring. We have a lot of younger listeners that are just starting out. But one of the things that, and remind me of thing, because we got to talk about your big event that
yes.
you had with the Wiener Dogs.
Yes.
Right now we're going to talk about disability income. And this is a big deal for me because, as you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was in the hospital, mm-hmm. had to have the Roto-Rooter thing done mm-hmm. to my artery. And fortunately, you know, I was out for a couple of weeks, but, I'm back. But the reality is, what if I wasn't back? And, you know, talking about disability income and disability insurance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, let's go ahead and define what disability means when it comes to insurance. We don't like to use the word insurance because everybody just immediately assumes they know what that means. We actually prefer to use the phrase income protection when it comes to disability, and that's a better connotation there. So what a disability is defined as is if you have something, whether it's an illness or physical injury or something in the way that happens to you cognitively, where you are unable to work and make an income as you normally would operate on a day-to-day basis. And if that would prohibit you, whether in the short term or the long term, would you or would you not be able to make an income? And we ask Todd, we ask a lot of different clients and prospects that question of like, hey, if this happened, what's the game plan? And half of them, actually more than half of them, just say, well, I guess I just have to figure something out. I'm like, yeah. That's the plan?
Well, in all seriousness, when I bought KRAM, you know, nobody here had, you know, health insurance. They offer no benefits. And so we mm-hmm. were looking at that, and we were going to offer health insurance, you know, mm-hmm. for our staff who are all Gen Zers.
Right.
Nobody
right.
wanted health insurance.
Right.
Because they're young.
Right. Well, you know, the common denominator there is a lot of young people think, oh, we're young, we're invincible, nothing bad's going to happen to us. That's something I'll think about when I'm 30, when I'm 40. And, you know, that's a can you can kick down the road for a very long time, down a very long way.
What would you say? I mean, again, a person's ability to earn income. I mean, right. that really, it seems to me, is the most important thing.
Well, it goes far beyond that. When you think about what your greatest asset is, you know, guess what? A lot of people think it's your car. They think it's your house. No, it's your ability and capacity to work and make money. And it's like, how are you able to afford your lifestyle if you're hurt? Like, who's paying the mortgage? Who's keeping the lights on? Who's keeping food on the table? And people just don't really think about it that way because they think of all these other things that, oh, I got to keep the car insured. And, you know, I got to keep the house insured. I got to, you know, make sure that, you know, we got our health insurance, which is great and all that stuff. But, you know, what are you using to afford all that stuff in the first place? It's your income. You got to protect your income, Todd.
And again, it goes back to a lot of people think, okay, this cannot happen to me.
Right.
And they see these, you know, dramatic car accidents,
right.
you know, where, or maybe your kids, you know, you're 18, 19 years old, mm-hmm. jumping into a swimming pool. The next thing mm-hmm. you know, boom, you're paralyzed.
Right.
So, but it's not just the dramatic things.
No, it's simple stuff that can hit you out of the blue. And I'm going to give a couple of good examples here. I was actually meeting with this couple's very sweet. So there is a 20-year age gap between the husband and the wife. And the husband is retired on Social Security, and the wife is actually an executive of a company. And she assured me that they got married before either of them had any money. So it was true love. But I remember she told me, she said she was driving down I-55 about 2 years ago, and she had perfect health, never had any cause for concern. And all of a sudden, she realized that she had been asleep at the wheel, and she was in the right lane heading into the ditch. And thank God there was nobody coming like on the opposite side of her, because that would have been a terrible accident. And she went in and come to find out that she has a blood pressure problem, and she had to go get checked out, and that was bad. It could have been very, very bad, and even worse. And she was actually disabled. She had some minor injuries on her left side that, you know, disabled her. She was not able to work for a hot second. And now she's coming to us and she's saying, hey, this is actually a priority for me. I wish somebody had talked to me about this 20 years ago. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I can see why that would be an issue. So
when I was in my 30s, when I had my first, you know, major heart surgery, mm-hmm. and I was out for, I mean, it was like 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, you know, I had that insurance, and so I was able to get, you know, keep getting a paycheck. And you've got to be prepared because you just never know when something might happen that'll put you, you know, on the DL for a couple of weeks
right.
or a couple of months.
Well, just to give another example, so we have an advisor at our firm who he had a longtime client who he begged to get income protection, some disability insurance. And this is a man, he has a wife, kids, he owns his company. And he had to have what he thought was just going to be a very minor back surgery. And so after, you know, about a few years of just begging, before he went in for the surgery, he went and purchased a DI policy, begrudgingly, I might add. He didn't think he needed it. Back surgery happens. He's out for, you know, 30 days. But then he gets 20, 25 days in, and come to find out, they actually found some stuff in his back that, you know, required some additional TLC, if you know what I mean. And he gets a check in the mail from the insurance company, and he calls the advisor and he says, hey, why are they sending me a check? You know, I'm not planning on being out very long. Like, what's going on? And the advisor told him, he said, hey, they've seen enough of these procedures and enough of your specific situations to know that you're probably not going to be, you know, you're probably going to be down and out for a good long while. He said, oh, that's not the case. He said, well, hey, just go in, cash in the check. You're good. They know what they're doing. We'll see what happens. Todd, the business owner, never went back to work.
Is that right?
Never went back to work. He couldn't work. He could not do it in the same capacity he had been doing. It was that severe.
Chris Loftus is with us from Strategic Financial Partners, the website strategicfinancialpartners.com. And if you have a question for Chris about disability income, disability insurance, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Dylan, did I get our phone number right? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you got it right.
Okay, thank you. I just, you know what it was? I was glancing down at these other phone numbers, and I just got lost. Guys, can we just, I just have to tell you, I think I hit a wall. Like, you know, I back, first full week back, and
you're doing
I feel
great.
Like I've just, you know, hit a wall.
You need more caffeine. No, that's all that works.
Yes, or some more of those great drugs. Thank God for legal narcotics.
Amen.
Can we have that conversation? No, we can't. We've got to continue this. So, look, a lot of people say, well, look, I've got insurance through the company.
Right.
You know, piece of cake. I really don't need more. Is that a good thought process?
So you always want to start with your benefits first and foremost, and that's what we tell everybody. Don't go out and just start going on this insurance spree of like, oh, I need to get, you know, as much as my income covered as possible. Yeah, that's a good thought, but you need to start at what's given to you. I mean, you get some very affordable, very favorable, very cost-effective benefits out there that should cover your disability insurance. But let's look at the scenario, what happens where if they don't, if there's a gap, which we see quite a bit, Todd. A lot of companies actually cap their disability insurance up to a certain point. So say that, hey, if you have $120,000 salary or thereabouts or a little less, and they cover up to 60% of it. Okay, well, that's great. But there's some fine print under there, Todd, that if you rise in the company, say you're an engineer and you're doing some field work, and you can make some pretty good money being an engineer, but they cap it at $200,000. And guess what? You're going up and up and up, and say you're making $400,000 a year. Well, guess what? Only half of that is going to be – it's going to get capped at $200,000. You're not going to get the full 60%. So what a lot of people don't realize that is that that gives them a pretty tangible lifestyle income gap because they get pretty used to living in that lifestyle. And if they get disabled and they're only getting a certain percentage, that's bad news for them.
And I think this is so important. It is not just for old people. All right. This is really probably more so for younger people.
If you are 40 and under, you need to be paying attention to this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So look, let's talk about misconceptions that people need to be aware of when it comes to, you know, getting disability insurance.
Right, right. So a big first misconception is that, oh, it's only for high-risk people. You know, you're people who, oh, you're in risky jobs where it's like you're doing a lot of field work, blue-collar. Yeah, that's the case. Those people definitely need it. But let's say you're in a white-collar job where you're sitting at a desk majority of the day or you're doing things that aren't necessarily deemed risky. Major health events impact us all day, every day without us even knowing it. Car accidents are the deadliest thing in this country known as of right now. It's worse than gun violence. It's worse than anything else right now. And the reality is that that can happen to anybody. I mean, all of us have known somebody who's gotten injured in a car wreck, if you think about it. And most of those people were disabled permanently or otherwise temporarily to some capacity where they were not able to do it. So the misconception is that, hey, just because you don't think it applies to you, I mean, my whole game, my whole job is a what-if scenario, right? It's my job is to be able to say, okay, hey, what scenario in your life are you least expecting? And are you prepared for it? if/when it happens. And it's more often than not when it's going to happen.
I love that. And again, folks, you insure that car that you crash, so why not insure the person inside of it and make sure you're protected as
exactly.
well?
Exactly.
All right. Chris, we're going to leave it there. But again, folks, if you have more information, I want you to go to the website, strategicfinancialpartners.com. Chris, give them your number if folks want to reach out to you directly.
That is 901-657-3324.
All right. Again, give Chris a call. You don't charge for the call, right?
I do not charge for the call. It's a free consultation.
I love that.
Just do a basic analysis. We're not attorneys. We're not CPAs. We don't charge by that hour. We just want to have the conversation.
You see, so folks, you have nothing to lose at all. And I want to make sure that you guys are very well protected. So take up Chris on the offer of the free consultation. Write down this number again. I want to share it with you. 901-657-3324. Now, if you're driving and you can call in and Helen will give you that information. 901-657-3324. Before we let you go,
yes,
you were like you were the star attraction at the big weenie dog competition.
Yeah, with the wiener dog races in Starkville, Mississippi. I think the wiener dogs. It was the Wild West weenies. That was the theme this year.
Oh,
it was amazing. 350 dogs from 26 different states. I think there was a dog from Germany, a dog from France, and a dog from Japan. I actually think the dog from Germany won.
I had no idea they had weenies over in Japan.
I know, right? It's crazy. But so it's amazing. So I had the blessing and privileged opportunity to be the official bugler for the Starkville Derby, which benefits the Oktibbeha County Humane Society. I know our friends in Pascagoula were making fun of me last time for Oktibbeha County and their funny little name, but it's a great county, and they raised, I think, almost $100,000 for that Humane Society, which was
phenomenal. Sweet mercy.
So, yeah.
Jumbo wieners.
Jumbo. And, hey, the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, it made an appearance.
Of course it did.
It did. It was amazing.
You know, we sent Ian the intern down.
Yes.
Super Low, and they actually let him go inside. They would not let him drive.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, he had a great time.
It's sizable.
It's pretty. It is. All right, we got to break. We've got to stop. This is just ridiculous. I'm going to have to find a new church to go to now. All right, Chris Loftus, good to see you, my friend.
Yeah, likewise, my
All
friend.
All right, we'll be right back. All right, don't forget tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. We'll have a lot of fun. Dylan, we've been talking about love for most of the show, and this story, it's in our stack of stuff from the New York Post, I think it's a great way to end the conversation today. AI robots are now moving in with lonely and elderly New Yorkers and keeping them company for free.
Of course they are. Wait, for free?
For free.
Okay.
Yeah. Sandra Cota is the woman who was interviewed. Her world had grown quiet. The busy pace of her life had slowed in recent years, replaced by long days in her Bronx apartment where the low drone of the television filled the silence between calls from loved ones. I am already depressed. Mrs. Cota, 79, said, "I'm lonely a lot of the time. My daughter feels that I should have friends and go out and mingle." Oh, Christian mingle. "But I wouldn't even know how to go about looking for someone to have company with." And so they tell her story, and they said she found a company that came to her, and it's called LEQ, the AI-powered companion robot helping seniors age in place and feel better while doing it. Miss Cota said, "She just puts a smile on my face," she says of the robot. "It's like having a real person here with me. It's very comforting." Cota is among more than 900 seniors who have received free LEQ through a New York State Office of Aging program. Can we stop here? That is not free. It's paid for by your tax dollars. Technology used to combat social isolation and loneliness among older adults. It's a serious issue across the country. 1 in 3 adults aged 50 to 80 report feeling lonely, and nearly as many say they feel isolated, a stark reality that can threaten both their mental and physical health. The robots are designed for older adults who live alone and are looking for companionship to combat loneliness while maintaining an independent lifestyle. Every morning, LEQ senses when the older adult enters the room. Okay. All right. That's it. I'm out. At that point, I'm out. How does the robot actually sense that you're walking into the room?
That's a good question.
The robot greets them with a warm good morning and then asks how they slept, follows up on how they feel, and what they plan for the day. This is according to the co-founder of Intuition Robotics. You know, I will say this. However, I'll put a caveat in there. What if I had like a pharmaceutical robotics AI companion?
You should bring that up. You should start that.
Todd, take your cholesterol medicine. Right? I mean, because sometimes you forget.
I mean, that's what Amazon Alexas are for, though. That's what we already have is for.
I tell you, you know, my doctor, my cardiologist is really, really great. He just knows that I'm a bad patient, and he just kind of puts the fear of God in you in a very kind-hearted way. Mm-hmm. But he was like, you know, I've got to take this thing, something called Plavix, and then this, like, baby aspirin. And it's a chewable baby aspirin. And so he said, don't forget. He's like, don't forget, because if you don't take that Plavix and if you don't take that baby aspirin, your stent's going to fail and you'll have a heart attack. I'm like, oh, my God.
That's a good cardiologist, though.
But I'm like, yeah, but okay, how do I know? I mean, you know, it's a lot of pressure.
You need to buy one of those trays that divides all of your pills up. It has the Monday, Tuesday, et cetera.
No, I'm not doing that. And I'm not doing the I've fallen and I can't get up bracelet. Just go ahead.
Life alert.
Let me die in peace.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe you do need an AI.
Have a shred of dignity.
I'm going to buy you the robot.
No, I don't want
that. It's going to help you.
I don't want that.
Hello, Todd.
Oh, my God. Please. It's our family does elephant gifts. That will not actually be an elephant gift. That's an actual gift.
That's a real gift, yeah.
We don't want to have to give you CPR.
I'll see you on Christmas, Todd.
That's terrible. I really, you know what? I'm getting out. I got to get a Dr. Pepper. It's been a rough day. Okay, folks, that's going to put a pin in it for today. Hopefully the FCC will let us back on the air tomorrow. We're going to have a lot of fun. Again, don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight. Hey, ToddStearns.com. Go back if you want to listen to the great show. You can do that. Download our podcast for free. And you're going to have a lot of fun. I can promise you that. Get out there. Be good, everybody.